Hey, I'm back. Thanks for joining me on the Meg Ellefson Show. My guest this morning from the Institute for Reforming Government, Executive Vice President, Chris Reeder. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Meg. Well, I'd be better if I knew there was a tax cut coming for the state. Unfortunately, that's out the window as of yesterday.
Yes, it's so maddening. And, you know, I guess maybe that's we're just both sort of out of sorts. And I mean, I've just kind of been agitated this morning. And, you know, now we know why. It's because of what Governor Tony Evers has done to the state of Wisconsin for the next, what, 400 years?
Yeah, at least on the property tax side, you know, and think of that, Meg. Our country is about to, we're what, 3 years away from celebrating our country's 250th anniversary. And he thought it was a good idea to lock in place a very specific expenditure amount, taxing authority at the local level for 402 years. I mean, just how it's, I laugh because it's just so brazen to think that that is good governing. And, you know, as his people are out there saying across social media today that that was the will of the people, that that's what they somehow voted for. No one could have thought that he would extend taxing authority at the local level, you know, every year for 400 years without it needing to go back to the elected lawmakers to think about and to consider. So, yeah, 400 years there. And then on the income tax side, I mean, look, we're sitting on a $7 billion surplus, just shy of $7 billion at the state. That's money that was taken out of taxpayers' pockets all over the state. Some of it, sure, was driven by government COVID spending, but nonetheless, it made its way through checkbooks into the state coffers. And it's sitting there, and instead of giving it back to the people like Republicans tried to do with at least about half of it, you know, now everyone will get about $37 back. So, you know, we built up a $7 billion surplus, and everyone's share is going to be about $37 back. So, you know, maybe a tank of gas, maybe half of a meal out at McDonald's or something for the average family or listener. But that's it. That's all. All the governor thought folks around the state were worth getting back.
Yeah, tank of gas if you drive a Yugo, maybe. And
right.
I mean, they don't even run anymore. But yeah, you know, it's as if he's trying to punish the state of Wisconsin. He's trying to punish us yet again. And I mean, this is no good deed goes unrewarded, I guess. But
right.
it's infuriating that he couldn't even see to giving the largest chunk of taxpayers in Wisconsin some sort of break. I mean, you know, you'd think that he would do that. But, I mean, honestly, I don't know what he was thinking. And the mainstream media is not, I saw all the headlines, the Journal Sentinel. They're not at all criticizing him. They're making him out to be, I think that, They actually said, like a character out of Star Trek, he went where no man has gone before, as if that's a good thing.
Right. Well, one of the initial headlines I saw yesterday, and it looks like it has been changed now, but on one of the larger newspapers in the state, actually said that the governor signed the GOP tax cut in the headline.
Oops.
Even though what he did was vetoed 95% of it. It looks like that has been changed. I don't think that one made it to print. That would have been a little too much even for them. But, yeah, my goodness, he vetoed 95% of the tax cut. And look, he easily could have, taken, you know, even using the kind of the class warfare mantra that the left is likes to use.
Right.
I mean, he could have taken the cut that was intended for the top bracket. And, you know, keep in mind what that top bracket is. Governor Doyle created, when Democrats had control back in 2009, created that top bracket of 7.75. Governor Walker knocked it down a little bit to 7.65, but it was created at that time on the guise of filling a state budget hole, right? We had a multi-billion dollar hole at the time in Madison. Clearly, say it worked or whatever, but we don't have a hole anymore. So we can get rid of it. We should get rid of it. The governor obviously decided not to, but he could have vetoed just that part, the part that impacts only taxpayers making, you know, for a married couple, $405,000 and more, and signed the other three bracket changes, giving tax relief to many small businesses, giving tax relief, you know, to 70% of the state, to 1.5 million tax filers, basically the middle class, right? The middle class falls squarely into that third bracket, making between $36,000 and $405,000 approximately. The middle class is within that, but he couldn't do that. He had to veto that entire cut in order to get at those that he deems, you know, the wealthy, and he's using a number of 200,000. So anybody over 200,000 is just unworthy of help. And because of that, he sacrificed the tax cut that anyone making between 37,000 and 200,000 would have received otherwise. So, you know, now we sit with that money still sitting in the state coffers, not being returned at a time when people need it most, when we have a recession either looming or we're in the midst of it, depending on which economist you talk to. But, you know, even if we weren't in a recession, that's still the people's money. It should still be given back. And, yeah, I mean, the vetoes yesterday on those two items were frankly unconscionable.
Well, and I mean, you say it's going to stay in the state's coffers. Well, for how long? You know, how long before, you know, we refer to it on this station as during all the COVID cash is Tony's walking around campaign fund. It's his slush fund. And that's, I mean, is this what he's going to decide who the winners and the losers are? And I mean, I see that he cut something out of the budget that affects a fish hatchery up in northern Wisconsin. And again, I guess it's about punishing those that vote Republican. I mean, that you know, I see too. The Journal said something about they're going to, or he used his veto power to reduce funds to help stage the 2024 Republican National Correct. Convention in Milwaukee. I mean, big shocker, but still, it's infuriating because it's so clear what he's doing.
Right, and you know, and I am certainly no friend of earmarks. I wish that the budget at the state level, I wish there just were not earmarks to specific entities at all. But nonetheless, the vetoes that he used on earmarks here were, as you just said, were very selective.
Partisan.
He vetoed the fish hatchery up in a Republican district. He vetoed money to a specific charter school, happens to be in a Republican district. He vetoed money to a bridge, happens to be in the Speaker's district down in the Racine area. It seems like his veto pen had some, you know, very selective usage yesterday as he rolled through the budget document. And yeah, you know, for anyone that makes over $37,000, you know, no tax relief is coming your way, but you will see that built-in extra levy limit at the school district level. So you can expect your property taxes to go up year over year for, you know, 400. And I laugh because it's just so comical, Meg. 400 years it's locked in now, pending a court challenge. And, you know, we know that the court is turning liberal in a couple of weeks when the new justice takes her seat. So, you know, I'm sure there will be a court challenge, but it seems like he's doubling down on hoping that the court will just uphold what he does.
This is the dirty trick of the Democrats. I mean, I think about even here in our community, our now mayor, formerly just a mayor, Marathon County Board Supervisor, she introduced or suggested the wheel tax here in Marathon County that was supposed to be just a temporary one-time fee. And guess what? It's still around. I don't know how many years later, seven years later, I think. And so this is what the Democrats will do with any surplus, is they will say, well, I don't think they know what the word save is, but they will use it as they see fit. And Emperor Tony has decided who's going to get funding and who isn't. And, you know, it just makes, I know that I've had a conversation with a number of our legislators in discussing this budget that was proposed. And they were, you know, I don't think anyone was anticipating what Tony Evers would actually do. But, you know, because they didn't anticipate this, I also want to warn everyone that, you know, we can maybe do a tiny little victory dance with regard to school choice, but that ship hasn't sailed either.
Right. Nope, absolutely. And there, you know, there's great concern right now moving forward on and rightfully so, on what does any future negotiation with the governor look like, or can there even be one? You know, there was the assembly Speaker Pro Tem yesterday was, you know, basically saying it's going to be near impossible to do any future negotiations, and he's not wrong, given that the school funding negotiation, you know, the governor has changed it with the veto pen, the 402-year provision. So that will be very tough moving forward to work through in Madison. But absolutely, if there's a pot of money in Madison, spent or unspent, at some point politicians are going to want to dole it out. They're going to want to find a way to give it to their favored right. constituencies. You know, it's a reason why a lot of states are, and it's probably something for Wisconsin to have a serious discussion on, are putting in place guardrails over state spending. You know, they're looking at how do you control state spending so that it is controlled or it is constrained by inflation and growth, and that there's real parameters behind what expenditure increases can look like or cannot look like. You know, some states are going as far as putting that into statutes, and some have put that into their constitution. But that's a real way that, you know, if we're going to have the governor like this for the long term, that the state needs to start taking a look at how can we build in real guardrails against spending increases and doling out money to favored constituencies instead of it being just across the board moving forward. But it's the day after he signed it, it's still something that we're all trying to go through and see what everything in the document really means. You know, he also just, they don't seem to get it that, going back to the tax cut, that the you know, they play up this class warfare. You know, they keep talking about the 11 richest people in the state, and that they can't possibly have any tax relief, forgetting that he is also not giving tax relief to another 1.5 million people. But they don't get it, that those are the people, the 11 plus the other 1.5 million, that are driving the economy and that can pick up and they can move, and they are moving, right? 92,000 people in 2021 left to states with better tax, or they left, and 60% of them went to states with a better tax climate. You know, Meg, when you really break through and stop thinking about Democrats being just those in power in Madison, but try to think of like just the average actual people around the state that identify as Republican or as a Democrat. I mean, we released a poll not that long ago that took a look at a host of issues, but within there was, you know, do you think income taxes are too high? Do you think reducing income taxes would help solve the worker shortage, which we have? You know, would it help draw people into our state, which employers in Wausau and Stevens Point and Green Bay, everywhere, desperately need more people to move into our state instead of moving out? And even Democrats, by a wide margin, when you, again, not the Democrats in Madison, not those elected, not Governor Evers, but rank and file folks that just go to work every day, using their common sense, they said yes. They do think taxes are too high. They do think the income tax should be lowered. They do think that type of a reform would help draw people into our state and that we need that type of reform to happen. 72% of Democrats, in fact, responded in that way, that they thought that was a good idea. But, you know, the good news, if there is one coming out of yesterday, is that long term, if we can figure out on the right how to actually talk to those folks, forget about Madison, but how do we talk to those average voters who still vote Democrat despite, you know, votes like this going against their best interests? They believe, as we do, that taxes are too high, that they should be brought down. There's hope long term that we can build a coalition big enough and broad enough to force the issue in Madison. But certainly it wasn't time for that to happen yet this time around, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I mean, never underestimate the dirty double crossing of Democrats, because I mean, I think about, right after, I mean, the ink probably wasn't dry after Evers signed the shared revenue plan, and those in Milwaukee were already suing the legislature over guidelines that they put in place as to what they could and couldn't use the sales tax increase money for. And, you know, I think, and I mean, none of these headlines that appear in the Milwaukee Journal don't just come out of nowhere. I mean, I just saw yesterday, Chris, that someone writes, can Milwaukee still expand the streetcar, despite the fact that the legislature made it very clear that they cannot use the sales tax increase to go towards the stupid trolley? But, oh, heck, they're going to try. And I mean, so never underestimate how rotten these Democrats are. Did I lose
it?
Oh, I didn't know.
And if you have a deal, you better. But I guess I was going to say get it in writing, but that might not be.
That doesn't matter. Well, it could be, you know, it could be crossed out. I mean, that's, yeah.
Right.
I mean, you know, I'm sure you saw it. I think someone highlighted it. I'm just trying to find it here. But how we went about this actual, the law against this, well, I guess I don't know how you, if you call it line item veto, the how he can strike out, let's see, it's legal. Wisconsin used to have a Vanna White veto where the governor could strike individual letters out of budget bills to claw together new sentences. Then they amended the state constitution to ban that for letters, but not for numbers.
Right.
I mean, who would have thought? I mean, that's just how low down they are.
Well, and in a question we're fielding today is, you know, what, you know, who didn't see this coming? Who, you know, what staffer looked past it? Well, frankly, no one. Because this has never been tried before.
Right. You don't anticipate it.
One time, you know, to be fair, one time Governor Walker did something kind of similar, adjusting numerals, but it was not, it was impacting a legislative deadline. It was not impacting taxes or spending authority or something like that. It was saying that a deadline that the legislature had to meet was going to be a different date than what they put in. That was tried in court, and I believe it fell short not on the merits of the case, but on the timing of the case brought forward, I believe. So there's a chance for, you know, a court case to come forward on this. But again, with the court switching hands, so to speak, in a month, that may not. You know, we probably shouldn't put a lot of hope into that overturning some of this. You know, one other item as you go through the vetoes, and as you noted before, I mean, he had 50 plus vetoes this time around, which is, you know, in the history of vetoes, it's not that many, right? Governor Thompson would have hundreds and hundreds of vetoes in his budgets back in the day, utilizing the Vanna White veto power and others that voters came in then and said, no, that's too far. We have to control that and constrain that. And maybe this is another item that voters will decide we need to run an amendment to the Constitution on and constrain it so that governors of either party cannot impact dates anymore. They have to accept or veto an entire date that the legislature puts forward. But one other item we're saying, and it highlights some of the economic illiteracy that takes place too often in the halls of the Capitol. Again, we need people to move to our state. You need them to move to Wausau. We need them to move it to where I live in Beaver Dam. We need them all over the state to move here. And there's a provision in the budget that he vetoed. It was only a $4 million provision. And it, you know, it was a provision directing the state basically to go out and to tell our story and to try to get people to move here. It's something that was started under Governor Walker. It worked to some success. It's hard to quantify exactly how many people move here because of those efforts, but it's a needed effort if you talk to employers all over the state. And there, you know, there's a provision just to say, hey, of the 4 million that the State Economic Development Corporation already is getting, so it wasn't new money, but it was of that money, you must spend some of that on recruiting people to move to our state. And that, you know, he vetoed that out. He did that 2 years ago as well. Maybe it's okay this time since we don't really have a story to tell with their high tax burden right now to draw people in anyways. But things like that, right? If you're not making the state competitive, and then you don't even let the state go out and talk to folks who might want to move here to tell our story and to say, hey, come move to the great Northwoods. It's a great place. There's a great, you know, despite our high tax burden, there's still a high quality of life. You know, we're not even trying as a state to convince those folks to come in anymore. So just total lack of I'll say lack of effort, economic illiteracy, whatever you want to call it, in Madison on what we need to do to turn around our economy and to compete with the states that are trying to reduce their tax burden, Iowa to our west. And Governor Reynolds has her state charging towards a 3.9% flat tax. And, you know, she has stated that that's not enough. She wants to eliminate their income tax altogether. I mean, if that happens, they win. They're going to be the top state in the Midwest if people are able to and willing to move between all the other states around us. So we have work to do. Unfortunately, this budget does not move us forward one bit in terms of, you know, making our state competitive for people who might otherwise want to move here or, frankly, just stay here.
You know what I think it might be, Chris, and then I'll let you go, is that I said this about Andrea Palm when she was part of the Evers administration. She had no vested interest in Wisconsin. She wasn't from Wisconsin. I'm not either, but I have made Wisconsin my home, and I love it here, and I raise my children here. But for those in the Evers administration that have no vested interest in what's best for the state of Wisconsin, what's best for the citizens, this seems to actually make sense that they wouldn't invest in economic development in this state because they don't care about it. I mean, maybe this is just a stepping stone to perhaps another Democrat administration in, shall we say, the swamp. And that might be the end goal for the majority of those that crafted these vetoes on behalf. Let's face it, Tony Evers didn't do it. He just held the pen. So it's tragic, that's for sure. Well, Chris Reeder, thanks for joining me this morning. I appreciate it. What's your website URL?
Great. Thanks, Meg. ReformingGovernment.org.
ReformingGovernment.org. Check it out. Hey, thanks for joining me this morning. I appreciate it very much. Look forward to our next chat.
Great. Thanks, Meg. Have a great day.
Thanks, bye. You too. Got to go to a break. Rolling right into the news, followed by your calls on the other side, 715-845-2155, on the Meg Ellison Show on WSAU.